What a privilege to be here this morning with you guys. I thank the Lord for Dan inviting me to come speak and share from God's Word with you. You know, in the Bible it tells us if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, learn to be a servant of all. And certainly I've seen that in my good friend Dan as he ministers not only at Appointment Fellowship, but he's always there to help out at Agape Chapel and doing things that nobody else sees, but I see and I appreciate that. He's not looking for me to give him any pats on the back because that's not who Dan is. You know, folks, we're living in very, very momentous days. I believe, certainly as we've seen in our election this past week, that we as believers, we need to keep our eye on the prize. Our eye on the prize is the return of Jesus Christ. Last night I had the privilege to go over to my pastor, who's now in heaven, Pastor Chuck Smith, over to his house to spend time with his wife, Kate Smith, and her son, Jeff, and daughter, Jan. And we spent hours talking about the return of Jesus Christ, where we're at. Her eyes were sparkling as we talked about the Lord. And what we're doing right now is we're recreating an old documentary movie that Pastor Chuck released in 1977, speaking about the prophecies that are taking place today. It's fascinating. We're going to pull some of the old video footage off and put it with fresh things. And let me give you a little sneak peek about it. You're all invited. It's the first Sunday night in December. You can go to the church website to get a look at it. The movie's called Future Survival. We're living in very difficult times. A friend of mine over in Israel named Amir, he sent me some information that was going on there in our political time. Is that so often we're not aware because we were so focused on who's going to be on first and what's going to be on second as far as elections is concerned. I don't care who's on third, right? You know. But the fact is that Russia really is having a powerful move. It's almost like they're, you know, it's a chessboard right now. England was really upset because down that channel that runs between Europe and England, they were sending their submarines, their war machines right on past them, and they came and parked right outside in Israel there in the Mediterranean. Russia's in Egypt. Russia's in Syria. And everything's all ready to happen. And so we figure it's time to get people back aware of the days that we're living in. And so we're excited. So Dan will give you some more information as we get closer to it. Hope to see you all there. By the way, Kay was praying for this morning. You know, she prays for you guys, especially you up at U-Turn. She loves you, and I just want to let you know that we all love you, and there's many, many people praying for you guys, and we really do care about you. But what I'd like to talk to you about this morning is how can we make a difference? You know, the message that we've heard in the political campaign, certainly by the president-elect, he says, let's make America a great again. And I say to us, what can we do to affect the world that we live in with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because our nation was founded upon the Bible, founded upon men and women who studied the God's Word, who lived God's Word, and were free to go share God's Word. And so how can we make a difference in our workplace, certainly with our families, you know, because the difference always needs to start at home. You know, and I believe that God wants us to enjoy life and make a very effect in the people's life that we come and encounter with. You know, and so with that, turn with me to the Gospel of John, and we'll be looking at some very familiar passages to all of you guys. It's John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And I believe in there comes something that's so important for us. If we want to be effective here the days and hours ahead of us for the kingdom of God. Do remember Jesus said, he says, though you're in this world, we're not of it. In fact, Paul writes, it says, our citizenship is where, folks? Our citizenship's in heaven. And not to lose sight of that. A lot of times people ask me to see my license. And I pull it out like you guys, and I show them my state of California, where I reside in. But really, I should have a card that says, as I pull it out, well, my citizenship's in heaven. Wouldn't that freak people out if they would see that? But really, that's what it's about. We'll read here some verses and then we'll talk about it. In verse 1, we read, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the words which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and it withered. Or if a man does not abide in me, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them in the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you should ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. As my Father had loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. For if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that your joy might remain, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Do you know something? Isn't it beautiful here this morning as we look at these scriptures to think that you guys have been called a friend of God? No matter what you've done in your past, no matter where you've been, maybe even yesterday, maybe you got in trouble at work, got an argument with your wife. The beautiful thing about our relationship with God, it tells us something, that each day that our mercies are new every day. I don't know if any of you guys were, as a kid growing up, I would get as a Christmas present quite often. It was called an Etch-a-Sketch pad. You know, back then, all it was a piece of cellophane that you could write on, and you could scratch on it, write, draw pictures. Then you would pull it up and put it back down, and it would be gone. Isn't that really how God is? Each day, he pulls the page up, it comes back down, and now you're clean. He gives you that fresh start this day to walk in his grace, to walk in his love, and to know him. He says some very important things in these passages, and I'm only going to bring a few out, a few of them, otherwise we'd be here for 4, 5, 6, 7 days. You know, there's such many, many beautiful truths here. First of all, verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Notice what he says here. He says, I am. I am, of course, you know, those who had gathered around him would mean a lot to people, especially if you were a Jew living at that time. As Jesus had declared in John, up to this point, in John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. In John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. In John 8:24, he says, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. In chapter 8, verse 58, he says, before Abraham was, I am. In John 10:7, he says, I am the door of the sheep. In 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. I am. And then in 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though they were dead, yet they should live. Why is that phrase, I am, so important? In fact, it was later on when the Jews were gathered around them. They were known as the religious people there in Jerusalem. They were known as the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and also the Herodians, were the different sects of religious people who would never ever come and have a cup of coffee together. But they did at this point, because Jesus and the things and the claims that he's making in John chapter 5, they said, he says, not only did you break the Sabbath, but you also proclaim yourself to be equal with God. And they plotted together to kill Jesus because he proclaimed himself as being I am. And what you have to understand, when you go back to the Old Testament, I think the Old Testament is so important for us because in the Old Testament we read about Jesus. We see him. And there, you guys all know the story of Moses. In fact, I met Moses here today. I don't know if any of you guys had. Great, great brother, right? But in the story of Moses, the first Moses, up there when he received his marching orders to go down into Egypt, as he went up and he saw this fascinating thing up on the mountain. He saw this bush that was on fire, that was burning, but it didn't go out. Can you imagine that? So he said, I'm going to go up and see what that's all about. So he went up there, and as he was going up there, a voice started speaking to him. He said, Moses? He says, take your shoes off. Because the land that you're standing on, the area that you're standing on is holy ground. And he fell down to his face as he realized that he was in the presence of the Lord. It's an amazing thing when a man comes in an encounter of the Lord in the holiness of God, how we're undone. It tells us that when Isaiah saw the Lord, he says, Ezekiel, he saw this vision of the Lord. He says, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. You know, who am I? When we come in a true encounter of the Lord, we are men that are undone, aren't we? That's why Jesus said, he says, blessed is the poor in spirit. Not that we're poor. I think most of us are fortunate that we got a dollar in our wallet if our wife lets us carry it, right? But it's poor spiritually that we realize we're bankrupt. Our country's bankrupt and needs Jesus Christ. So when Moses saw the Lord, and the Lord had commissioned him to go down to Egypt to lead the nation that had been underneath the cruel hand of the taskmaster for how long? 400 years. Moses asked him, he says, who should I say is going to send me? Who should I tell him that's sending me? And the Lord answered Moses and he said, I am that I am. You know, that's not just a noun verb. It's actually a verb. I mean, noun form. It's a verb. I am that I am simply means I am the all-becoming one. I become what you need. And what he was saying to Moses, I'll be what you need when you go down to lead the people. This morning, that same God is here. His name is Jehovah. His name is Yahweh. In fact, his name you can't even really pronounce because they don't have vowels in their, all they have consonants in the Hebrew language. When the Jews would say the name of the Lord, they wouldn't even try to say Jehovah. They just simply say the name of the Lord because they recognize who he is, the great I am. If we need salvation, you know what? God's here this morning. If you need peace, let me tell you, he's here this morning. If you need direction in your life, he's here this morning. If you need provision, he's here. If you need to be set free, he's here. He says, I'm the great I am. And so when Jesus said, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman, it's so important as the declaration that he's making here. See, my Father is a husbandman simply means he's the one who cultivates. He's the one that looks over the vineyard. He's the one that takes care of everything. Notice what he tells us in verse number 2. He says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. Otherwise, this is the pruning process that's going to be happening. He takes it away. There's only one purpose for a branch. If any of you guys ever been in a vineyard, or maybe work in a, orange grove or an apple tree, if you have one in your backyard, you know what the purpose of those trees are? Those vines are? It's what? To produce the fruit. And if you got things that are unhealthy that cause it not to grow, what are you going to do? You're going to cut it away. And so I'm going to cut it away. And certainly, the nation of Israel had gotten to a place where they were not producing fruit. They were a nation that were to represent God to the rest of the world. Our lives are to be that witness of who God is. In fact, Paul tells us each and every one of you, that we're ambassadors of Christ. We're sent out to represent the Lord no matter where the Lord sends you out this day. Represent who He is. You know this, you know, wood, the vine, you know, once it's cut off, it really is. And He tells us that which He cuts off is not really good for nothing. And you find that piece of the material, you find that lumber, you can't even call it lumber, you can't build with it, you can't really burn it, you know, or do anything with it that's, you know, useful. So you just kind of let it dry out, you build it up, and you build a bonfire, and you would burn it. But then He says that not only He prunes it, there's a purpose that He prunes it. Notice that He says towards the end of verse 2 that it might bring forth more fruit. God wants your life to experience tremendous fruit. What's the fruit that He's talking about here? Paul speaks about it. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love. He wants your life to experience love at the highest level. That deep spiritual love between you and God. It's called in the Greek, it's called agape. He wants you to go past that family love. Maybe that love that you have for your spouse. There's a deeper love that He wants you to experience. That's the love of God. And He says, I'm going to prune you that you might, your life might bring forth fruit. That you might bring tremendous fruit. In verse 3, He says, He tells us, now you're clean through the words which I've spoken unto you. Notice how our life can be cleaned up. There isn't a 7-step program that I've ever seen that cleans us up spiritually. I'm not putting it down. Anybody's having trouble that needs to get some help. Let me tell you the real 1-step that God would want to clean us up. It's found in the Word. Jesus said, "Is that he that whom the Son has set free is free indeed." When you come to Jesus Christ, you don't have to allow anything to dominate your life in any way other than His Spirit. You can now enter into a relationship the way God intended it to be. Even all the way back to the time of Adam and Eve, how they walked with God in the coolness of the day. God wants us to walk with Him. Isn't that exciting? The Creator of the universe wants to have fellowship with you. You would say, Pastor Terry, my life's still a mess. Well, let me raise my hand. I'm there too. But I find my life being changed by the power of God's Word. The Word of God is alive and it's a powerful tool. I would highly encourage you guys is to learn and try to discipline your life where you would read God's Word each and every day. These verses that Dan was talking to you about earlier, and some of you guys were memorizing them, that you would take time to meditate on them. Allow them to change your life. David had a few problems in his life, didn't he? King David, as you read him and you study about him, in fact, he had a problem with adultery. In fact, he caused a man, Uriah, to be murdered. He did all kinds of bad things. But yet we find out that he was knew the God of the second chance, the third chance, the 15th chance, the 30th chance. But he called upon God's mercy and God's grace to change him. In Psalm 119, that I believe was probably penned by David, he says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." The word of God becomes that deterrent to keep us from sin. When we get down going down a path of life, all of a sudden you feel yourself being pulled into sin. God's Word, when we hide it in our hearts, we'll say, you know what? That's not right. It's not pleasing. Allow the Word of God to cleanse us, to change us, to make us more like Jesus Christ. And then he says, verse 4 is so important for us, where he says, "Abide in me. And I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me." Very, very important for us to learn this and understand this morning, guys. He says you can't do it by yourself. You know that old story that we all read growing up and we saw, not only in probably from kindergarten all the way through, that story was that little train that thought he could. Yes, I can. I can do it. Choo, choo, choo. Up the hill I go. I'm trying to do it. You know, that's where a lot of believers think that this is all about. Where we're going to say, if I just read 10 chapters a day and I pray 10 hours a day, I'm going to have my life to be changed. See, what Jesus is saying, I'm the change agent. I'm the one that's going to change you. I'm going to change, give you a new heart, and I'm going to change you from the inside out. But what you need to do is you need to abide in me. You say, what does that mean, Pastor Terry? Well, let's go back a few weeks ago. Let's talk about what everybody was talking about on TV, right? The Republican Party or else the Democratic Party. Whoops, I haven't flipped. They were supposed to be. But really what they were saying is if you vote for a party, you're to believe in their platform that they bring forth, their philosophy, and that they're going to stay within their borders of what they agreed to at their platforms when they made those conventions and said, this is what the Democrats believe, this is what the Republicans believe, and all Republicans are going to abide within that section of belief. Jesus says, abide in me. Abide in what I'm teaching you. Follow what I'm following, you know, calling you to do. And he says, my words will make you clean. He says, and you will be my friends if you do the things that I ask you to do. And so that's why it's so important each and every day that we make choices to abide in the vine. The Bible tells us that God has given us a free will. Each and every day I have the opportunity to get up to make a choice, just like you guys. Joshua said that as he and his house, he's chosen to serve the Lord. Daniel said that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. See, are you willing to make that decision today and say, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to follow his platform. I'm going to do what he has to want me to do. Notice the strong statement that he says there in the end of verse 5, where he says, without me, you can do nothing. What does he mean by that? What do you mean? I can go to work. I can go buy groceries. I can't use plastic bags anymore, but I can go buy groceries, right? I got surprised yesterday when they said, you got a box? You got something? Oh, no. Well, it's going to cost me 10 cents a bag, right? But he says, anything that deals with anything that matters, or spiritually, about your life. When I say spiritually, that's your whole life. Everything about it, anything that's lasting, you can't do it without him. It's so important for us to be plugged in. You know, I like it as to like having a light here. If we had a light stand standing here. And all of a sudden, one of you guys say, hey, Pastor, could you turn the light on? I'd walk over, I'd turn the switch, get it going. And some of you guys say, well, Pastor, you dummy, you haven't plugged it into the outlet. So you plug it in, boom, it comes on, right? And Jesus said, you make sure you're plugged in. That you abide in him. And the beauty is that he doesn't leave us alone, going back to our I think I can. Because Jesus made a promise to us. He says, actually, the promise of the Father, that he's going to send somebody to help us. You know who the helper is? The Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to enable us to do the things that we cannot do for ourselves, to abide in us and to work through us. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit means in original language. It's this word parakletos. And para simply means it's this word to come alongside. To come alongside. You notice how Jesus says, I'm your friend? Isn't it great to have somebody to be your friend to help you? At one time, I used to dig ditches for a living. I was at a sign company. And I had a job in August where I had to put up these billboards up around the 10 and the 15. Do you know what the dirt's like that up there on the 10 and the 15 in August? But my friend came along with me. And he was a professional hole digger. And as I threw down my post hole digger, it bounced right back up 3 feet. as I got a quarter inch of dirt off of it. But we stayed there and we worked together, and I thank the Lord that He came along, because we muscled through that thing and we got it done. And as we were driving home, I said, "Oh, Frank, isn't this a great day?" And he goes, "Terry, what are you thinking about?" I says, "I don't know, but I got a band going off inside of me." As I was worshiping, thanks to the Lord that a friend came by to help me that day. We have a friend today. Someone who's come alongside to help us. His name is the Holy Spirit. And He's here this morning. Don't leave without Him. In fact, if you're born again, you can't leave without Him. But learn to rely upon the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you go home and you got troubles at home, if you got work, you got troubles there, you don't know what to do, then draw upon your friends. Say, I don't know what to do. And as you do that, God will help us. God will enable us to do the things that we cannot do for ourselves. Men, I would encourage you to study this whole chapter. Because in this chapter, it talks about fruit, right? Then He says that God wants us to bear more fruit. He's not satisfied with just a couple little fruit on a branch. But then He goes on, He wants you to bear more fruit. Then the third thing that He says, He wants you to bear much fruit. It's, can you picture that branch is hanging way down? That's what Jesus is talking about, your life. Because He said, in bearing much fruit is your Father much glorified. So our life can be pleasing in the Lord, bearing much fruit. Today, if you haven't made that initial commitment to Jesus Christ, that's where it starts. Remember, you got to get plugged into the vine. If you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, I say, why not? Oh, it can't. All it's going to do is bless your life. Or maybe you're one here today and say, "Hey, I've been straying away from the Lord." Jesus would say to you, "Come back home. Because I want to bless your life. I'm there to help you." And those of you say, "You know what? I'm doing okay." I would ask you, is your life bearing much fruit? If you say, "Well, it's bearing some fruit," then get plugged in. Get plugged in, not to a church. It doesn't say that here, does it? Don't get plugged into a program. It doesn't say that. Get plugged into who? Jesus Christ. With that, Fernando's going to come up and share a song, and then we're going to be sharing communion. And as we're sharing in communion, if there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus Christ, I would ask you to right now, as we're singing, as we're sharing in communion, you say, "Yes, Jesus, I need You as my Lord and Savior." And as you do that, He will not only hear you, He'll bless you. Whatever your need is this morning, if you need peace in your life, remember as we open here this morning, He says, "I am that I am." Whatever you need, open up your heart. If you need a healing, you need His presence in your life, He's here to help you. Fernando?
There is freedom.
Freedom reigns.
place.
Freedom reigns in this place.
Showers and mercy and grace.
Showers and mercy and grace.
Falling on every face.
Falling on holy praise.
There is freedom.
There is freedom.
Jesus reigns in your place.
Jesus reigns in your place. Showers and mercy and grace.
Falling on every face. There is
freedom.
There is joy. There is
glory.
There is freedom.
You know, Paul said that he wrote, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The promise is that Jesus Christ is coming back again. And right now, by us sharing in communion, we're reminding ourselves of the words of Jesus where he says, take, eat this body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So if you could take that little cellophane off the top and you have this wafer, and if we could hold it here for a moment as we pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that your body was broken for us. You just simply did what Isaiah said, that by your stripes we're healed. And you went through the cross willingly. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. I believe that he saw this Saturday morning, men gathered together, celebrating what you accomplished for our lives. In Jesus' name, may we take part together. Thank you, Lord. You could take the other little foil off the top. Without filling it, you're doing a great job. Jesus went on and he said in the same manner, he says he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant that this do, as often as you do in remembrance of me. When Jesus on the cross took his last words, he said, Tetelestai. He said, it is finished. Everything that was accomplished in order to redeem us, to purchase us back to God, was accomplished on the cross. All he asked us to do to take advantage of it is to believe in him. This takes part together, that new covenant that Jesus had made to us here this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the cross of Calvary. We thank you for 3 days later, you rose from the dead to give us true hope. And we praise you here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we take part together? Again, I thank you guys for this opportunity to be together, and I'll turn it back over to Dan now.